We're thrilled to announce that we now have 7 powerful devotionals available on YouVersion's Bible app. For those not in the know, YouVersion is the top Bible app in the world, and we're honored to be on this incredible platform. Our devotionals dive deep into the pillars that define the lion within us: health, wealth, and self. So whether you're seeking spiritual growth, financial wisdom, or personal development, these devotionals are tailor-made for you. So ready to embark on this transformative journey and unleash the lion within you? Head over to thelionwithin.us/YouVersion to access our devotions on the YouVersion app. Join thousands of like-minded individuals and dive into the Word with us. That's thelionwithin.us/YouVersion. That's YouVersion. And let's grow together and become the leaders God intends us to be. Welcome to The Lion Within Us, a podcast serving Christian men who are hungry to be the leaders God intends you to be. I'm your host, Chris Granger. Let's jump in. All right, guys, it is your meat episode. I'm excited to be here with you today, so let's dig right into it, okay? So we're in the book of John this week. That's the scripture, chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized." And guys, go back and check that spiritual kickoff episode out where we unpack this, because this whole idea around discipleship, intentionality, commitment, spending time together is big. And we're missing this too often in churches. And quite frankly, that's what my guest today is going to be talking all about. So Jim Halsted is the head of Go and Tell Ministries. He served as an ordained pastor with several different denomination churches for 35 years. In 2020, he said, "You know what? I'm going to go make this thing happen full time." So he started Go and Tell Ministries actually in May of 2021. And this is what he does. He's a missionary. He's going out to churches all over the U.S., sharing how we can turn regular, everyday church people into disciples and actually start teaching them what it means to walk with Christ. So he is a retired ordination license with the Christian Reformed Church. He's a retired minister, but you know what? He is doing incredible work, absolutely incredible work, sharing the gospel, evangelizing, and teaching people how to be disciples of Christ. So what does that look like? He has some great resources. This is a fun conversation. Jim is just he's fired up. He's got a lot of passion for what he does, and he's also excellent at what he does. So guys, you're going to get a lot out of this. If discipleship is an area of your life that you've been struggling with, this is what you want to lock into. Because for me, this was the struggle. You know, I turned my life to Christ when I was 16, and basically it was like, okay, I'm a Christian now. Good luck. You know, it'd be kind of like starting a T-ball team. You know, I'm a member of the T-ball team with no coach. I mean, it's already a dumpster fire if you ever coached T-ball before with a coach. But you imagine just having T-ball players out there with no coach, no guidance whatsoever? It'd be ridiculous. You wouldn't even consider that. Yet we do that with Christians. We say, hey, we want to show you the good news of the gospel. Oh, you understand the gospel? Yep. Okay, good. You'll profess your life to Christ? Yep. Okay, good. Great. Good luck. That's not what it's supposed to be. Discipleship is intentionality. It takes commitment. It takes work. And Jim does a great job of showing that. So guys, sit back, get a notepad, maybe get something to write with, because he's going to share a ton, but enjoy this conversation with Jim Halsted. All right, well, Jim, welcome to The Lion Within Us. How are you doing today?
Hey, doing great. Thanks so much for inviting me. Great to be with you.
Once we met, I was like, okay, well, I got to have you on the show. So looking forward to all the stuff that you're doing at Go and Tell Ministries. And before we get there, though, give us a fun fact about you. What's something about that, Jim, that not many people know about?
Kind of fun fact is I have 3 adult kids, and my son is assistant basketball coach at Grace College, and they're number one in the nation, NAIA. They just won the Crossroads League tournament last night. I was there with my family, and they'll start the national tournament, NAIA, next weekend. And so we're a basketball family. We love basketball, and it's fun not only watching your son play, but watching him be an assistant coach at a college and still winning. So we had a fun night last night. So if I'm a little tired, we were up celebrating last night with a championship.
That is incredible. Now, did you play basketball too, Jim?
Very poorly in high school. My son played at college at Grace College. And the other side note, he set the school record. He made 11 threes in one game. So he was a shooter, and it's fun watching him coach.
Wow. He was on fire that night. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was funny. He broke the record twice when he played in college. I was gone both times teaching my Go and Tell Evangelism workshop. I've only missed a few games when he played in college, and I missed the two that he broke the records.
Wow. Well, that's a great it's getting ready to be a fun time of year for basketball fans, too, with March Madness and the NBA playoffs are coming up in a few months. So, yeah, man, this is a good time of year for hooping. That's for sure.
That's right.
Well, let's get into it. So I love, you know, everything that you're doing at Go and Tell Ministries, your books, the Disciples Walk. I just, when we connected, it was just a fun conversation. And this is something that I see a lot of churches in particular struggling with around this whole idea of discipleship. And some churches, they just don't have a clue where to even start. So give us maybe a little background to why you even started Go and Tell Ministries. Why that is such a big opportunity that many people are struggling with right now.
Yeah, you know, I have pastored for over 35 years in three denominations, Evangelical Free Church, Christian Mission Alliance, and Christian Reformed Church. I also was a special education teacher for 10 years in the state of Indiana in the public schools, often bivocational. And I was always an evangelist. And Go and Tell started several years ago. The mission statement is for us to equip the church to share the gospel and make disciples. And I actually came to the Christian Reformed Church, gosh, over a decade ago. We had 15 people. We grew it to 70 through salvations of sharing the gospel. And the denomination even asked me, they said, how did you do that? I said, well, we prayed for the lost. We shared the gospel. People profess faith. And they said, no, how did you do that? I said, well, we prayed for the lost. We shared the gospel and people profess faith. And they basically said, no, we need help to do that. And so back in 2013, I wrote the Go and Tell Evangelism workshop. It's a 3-hour workshop targeted for people who've never shared the gospel to be equipped to share the gospel. And often when people think about that, they think on evangelism training's going to challenge me to go to the town square and talk to people I don't know. And you might want to do that, praise God, but that's not our focus. Our focus is that every believer will begin to pray for the people God has placed in their life that they don't know Jesus, that they'll pray for their salvation. And then they'll begin to interact with him relationally, listening, and eventually bring up Jesus. And through that, 10 years ago, I wrote the workshop. And 4 years ago, I retired from the pastorate. I got Go and Tell Ministry incorporated. I went full time. And it's a twofold aspect. As you know, discipleship's just not helping people grow, but it's coming to people in faith. And so we equip you to share the gospel through the Go Tell Evangelism workshop. And then we also equip you to disciple others by the Disciple Making Disciples workshop and resources. And, you know, the statistics aren't really good for the church right now in doing this, Chris. Christian posted a study last year. 2/3 of Christians have no tool to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else, meaning 2/3 of the church in America, they don't know how to share the gospel. 1/3 of evangelical pastors in America think you can get to heaven on good works. Lifeway did a study of Christian prayer habits, and they found this. More Christians pray to win the lottery than they pray for their neighbor's salvation. And if you look at the Great Commission, Barna did a study a few years ago, and they found that 51% of the church in America had never even heard of the Great Commission. 25% heard, but they didn't know where it was in the Bible. Only 17% of Christians in America knew the Great Commission was found in Matthew 28, which says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so Go and Tell came out of a great need of equipping the church to not only share the gospel, but also after you lead people to faith, to disciple them. And it's been a fruitful ministry in 3 years. I travel 40 weekends a year. I do 10 conferences. In 3 years, I've written 4 books, filmed a video series, and I'm endorsed by six denominations. And someone says, Jim, sounds like you're a overnight success that took 40 years of ministry to get there. And I think God has used 40 years of ministry and teaching. He's used me as an evangelist with stories, as a special education teacher with simplicity, to equip the church to share the gospel and make disciples. And it's just been a fun 3 years right now.
It sure sounds like it, Jim. And I mean, and the discipleship piece is definitely where, I mean, we're going to touch on all of it, but that's where I see the big gap is. And once you get them in, how do you disciple them, particularly for men? You know, how do you disciple men? So give us some basic foundational things that you work with churches, particularly around with men's ministry, on how you can move that discipleship journey down the road.
You know, and it is a big need. I think Billy Graham said 80% of people have never shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else. And if that's true, how many people have not been discipled by another person?
Right.
95%? How many people have not discipled another? And, you know, I was blessed. I accepted Christ through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was in high school, and in my book, Disciple Making Disciples, I went to an FCA conference, and this was back in 1976, and Kent Benson was speaking. If you're an Indiana University fan and a basketball fan, he was a part of a 1976 national championship team. He was my hero. I wanted to be everything that Kent Benson was, a basketball player. And my coach, Chuck Mustin, got me to go to the camp. He paid my way for camp. He drove me to the camp. And I met my hero, Kent Benson. And I wanted to be like him, a basketball player. And I always remember at that camp in 1976, he had just won the national championship. And he said this: I would give up my national championship trophy. I'd give away my Mr. Basketball trophy. Everything pales the comparing of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I remember thinking, he has everything that I want. And he says, Jesus is more. And I went up to him afterwards. I had my Good News for Modern Man Bible. And this is a Kent Benson bobblehead that he signed and gave to me later. And I gave him the Bible. And I asked him, I said, Kent, if what you're saying is true, they need to write a book about this. He says, Jim, that's the Bible. I didn't know. I had the Bible in my hand. I didn't put it together. I went home, read that Bible, New Testament, three times that year. I started going to church. And a year later, August 1977, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was all in. Had a senior year in high school. Then I went off to Indiana University. And what I was blessed with was I had people disciple me. So what was interesting, I was very passionate about my faith as a young believer. I didn't know much. I just knew the New Testament, some knew the Gospels. My second semester, my freshman year at Indiana, I'm leading the Indiana University Fellowship of Christian Athletes chapter. I wasn't on the varsity teams. I was playing intramural, but I was just passionate about Jesus, so I'm leading it. And something happened. I was leading a Bible study. It was at Assembly Hall. We had a room in Assembly Hall. We had 40 athletes there. I'm leading a study. Roger Kodak was on staff for FCA part-time. He was a master's student at IU, and he was there at that meeting. Someone asked a great question. They said, why did they have sacrifices in the Old Testament? Passover, why did they have sacrifices? I'd never read the Old Testament. I was just reading it, and I read somewhere it said that God loved the aroma. So I said, you know, I love the aroma of a barbecue. God loves the aroma of a sacrifice. Everyone's laughing.
Right.
I thought it was the right answer. Roger then interrupts and he talks about the Passover lamb, of how Jesus was a lamb of God who took away our sins. And he explained how Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead, and how it was a fulfillment. All of a sudden I realized, I don't know what's going on in the Bible. Roger said he wanted to meet with me afterwards, and I'm thinking, well, you've had a nice run for a semester leading this FCA group. I guess you're going to have to give it to someone who knows what they're doing. But you know what? Roger didn't fire me. He goes, Jim, I love your passion. Look at this. You got 40 athletes here all because of you. You love Jesus, but you know, have you had anyone meet with you to teach you how to read the Bible and to pray? I said, no, Roger, I've been reading the Gospels on my own and praying and sharing Jesus. He goes, why don't we start meeting at the Memorial Union building every week for lunch, and I'm going to teach you the Old and New Testament, and I'm going to help you grow. And Roger began to disciple me. Then I went to the right church. I went to a church that did the same. Dave Ferris was the pastor. He began to disciple me. He met my fiance, my wife, Christy. We got married. He discipled me, helped me grow. I actually worked on staff with the church as a youth pastor for a year and a half. Then I went off to seminary. And Chris, what I was blessed with, I had Roger Kodak and Dave Ferris meet with me on a regular basis over a span of 5-7 years. They held me accountable of reading the Word of God. They taught me the Word of God. Dave helped me learn how to love my wife, how to pray with my wife. Later, when I had young kids, a guy, an elder in my church, Rick Walker, met with me for lunch every other week, and he held me accountable of how to pray with my kids, how to train up my kids to know Jesus, how to love their mother, to honor and raise up my kids. And I had people come into my life to disciple me, and I just thought it was natural because I was young in faith, mm-hmm. just starting in a church. And I found after I graduated seminary and I went into a normal church, most people have never had that relationship. They felt discipleship was coming to church, hearing the pastor, and then you don't do much during the week. I was blessed that I had guys come alongside, and that's what it says in John 3:22 that Jesus spent time with his disciples. He came alongside with them to share life with them, to pray with them. And you read through the Gospels, he not only prayed with them, he not only taught them, he modeled it, then he had them do it. And that's how we're called to disciple mm-hmm. others. And that's where life change happens. And I feel most guys are not growing in their walk because they've never had someone do that. And I've been blessed to do that. And that's why I wrote this book, a book I haven't sent you yet. I'll send it to you. Disciple Making Disciples book. And it's just that. It's tools to teach you. It's 27 chapters of stories of me walking with faith, true to life stories of Jesus. But then there's 27 Bible studies where you read a whole passage of scripture, 15 to 25 questions to ask as you read the Bible. Because what I've realized is people discipled me. They taught me to read the Bible. They literally read it with me. They asked questions to help me learn how to ask questions to understand the Bible. Roger and Dave then would pray with me, and they taught me how to pray by modeling prayer with me. They modeled how to share the gospel with mm-hmm. others when we were at the coffee shops or restaurants. And I had people come in my life, walk me with Jesus, model how to do that, and then they expected me to do that as well. And that's what I've tried to do in this book. Because I feel guys want to do this, but they just never have been trained to do this. And we need to come alongside and to disciple someone. You know, the old saying, as one person, I can't change the whole world, but I can change the whole world for one person. Roger Kodak and Dave Ferris changed my life. And in turn, I've tried to do the same one by one. And that's how we can change the world, is if everyone grows in Christ, comes alongside another believer. And matter of fact, I think the study shows this. If I would disciple a new believer in 6 months, and I would spend time with him, and then after 6 months, we would both win someone to faith and disciple a new believer in 6 months. So after a year, we have four. You know how long it would take, how many years it would take if we did that every 6 months to reach the world? 17 years.
How long?
But if you take out one disciple, it cuts it drastically. You see, we can, in our generation, change the world one at a time by sharing the gospel and making disciples and investing in lives. And once you begin to walk in Jesus in that way, you just won't attend church. You're going to live for him, for his glory.
Amen to that. Amen, Jim. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, guys. We'll be right back. If you're a man who's looking for greater spiritual guidance into how to become a better leader, finding resources that you can trust and then implement can be daunting. For me personally, I thought it was a lost cause, and I decided to take the action knowing that I wasn't alone. It was because of this wide gap that we created our Lion with Dennis community, and the areas that we're helping Christian men grow are incredible. For instance, we built ways for guys to lean in and grow through fun events like our daily spiritual kickoff, where you get that much needed boost directly from God's word. Our Bible studies that always focus on how to discern and apply what we learn. and even our amazing forum where you can speak your mind without fear of getting shut down or judged by the extreme rules of modern day social media. On top of all that, we know that many men want help overcoming issues and becoming stronger in many different areas. That's why we created several mastermind groups where the iron truly sharpens the iron. Our community is about having a growth mindset, accountability, intentionality, and transparency. In other words, just leave fake you at home and come to community just as you are. I fully believe in what we've built. I see the impact it's making on men right now, and I would love to have you check it out. So start your very own 30-day free trial today to see how we can help you be a better leader. So if you're ready to take that first step, head over to thelionwithin.us and get started. Your journey begins here. Visit thelionwithin.us, and I'll see you inside the den. So, Jim, I'm just thinking here is what you were just sharing, because that's your experience with Roger, with your pastor. That was not my experience. So, I mean, I feel like a lot of guys, it's almost like so much is focused on the evangelism, the sharing the gospel, and then we get them to the church, and then, all right, good luck. Well, you know, I got to go get the next one, right? And then we're not really worried about how that because there's a lot of intentionality that those two men in particular spent the time, the devotion, challenging you, holding you accountable. And that's just not, I don't see that as being a natural part. And that is a gap, because I mean, good for you there, but maybe talk to the guy out there who's thinking right now, okay, where do I find these guys that are willing to step in and truly disciple me in this manner? Because this is very difficult.
You know, one way to do this in the book, and there's a lot of tools out here, but accountability questions. And so one thing we've tried to do in this book is just give you simple tools to disciple another. And it's, again, it's basically doing the basics of reading the Bible together. And you have to systematically read the scriptures. You have to be intentional of reading the Bible on a regular basis. And that's where your life's going to change. And I'll have to be honest with you, as a pastor, as I go around asking people to read the Bible, I find that most guys are not reading it. And as you read it, you're going to see God convict you. And as you memorize those verses, probably the best thing that ever happened to me in seminary, I went to seminary, and I know most people won't go, but it was 1985, December. I went to Columbia Bible College and Seminary. It's now called Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. I was just there 3 weeks ago. We had a chapel, and in that chapel, I had a speaker. I don't remember the guy's name, but I can remember his face if it was yesterday. 70-year-old pastor got up, held up his Bible, and he says, "This has changed my life. I have read through this whole Bible 50 times. He said, "I made a vow when I was 20 to read through this Bible every year, and I've done it, and it's changed my life." Well, I was a 25-year-old Christian, 1985. I've read through the Bible once, and I remember thinking as a seminary student, you know, I think he's right. I need to devote my life to this book. And since January 1st, 1986, I have read through the Bible every year. It's changed my life. Through that, I've memorized thousands upon thousands of verses. And what's so ironic about it is I still read it every day, but it takes me longer to read it now than it has in the past, which you find it surprising because you've read it for every year since 1980. But every year I read it, God is speaking and he's bringing more things up and he's teaching me. It takes me longer to read it. It takes me deeper in prayer. And by reading that book, it's changed my life. And if you want to grow in Jesus Christ, we need to come alongside, guys, to read the Bible and come alongside to be accountable. So I've had accountability partners my whole life, beginning with Roger and Dave, and now with Marvin. I'll be meeting Marvin tomorrow morning. And Marvin, my accountability partner, we always ask questions of each other. And that's how it begins. And in our book, we have 25 accountability questions. We always talk about how has God blessed you this week? But we've asked, have you read the Word of God? How many days? How long? What is God teaching you? What verses are you memorizing? How is your prayer life? How is your relationship with Jesus growing? We ask each other, how were you tempted this week? How did you respond? Who are you praying for salvation? Have you shared with them this week? How is life going with your spouse? Are you praying with your spouse? How are things with the kids? Are you praying with your kids? Basic questions. And what I find is those accountability questions, Chris, is two things. If you ask those questions, you have any sense of sincerity in you and Christ in you. I cannot ask you if you're reading the Bible without reading it myself. I can't ask you if you're praying with your spouse without me praying with my spouse. You see, one thing I realized early on in my walk with these guys asking me questions, that they were living it. I began to disciple others for not only others' benefit, but I know when I disciple other people and I'm asking these questions, it's forcing me to ask, are you praying with your spouse every day? Are you reading the Bible every day? Yeah. Are you praying with your kids every day? Are you reading the Word with your kids every day? And by me discipling others, it's made me grow, because I can't ask those questions in sincerity and not walk with Jesus. And what I found is a lot of people don't want to do that because they don't want to be accountable. Because it's far easier. I call it a third person's walk. It's far easier to go to church and hear my pastor talk about his walk with Jesus instead of having me walk with Jesus. And that's where we got to come alongside in accountability. So if you've never been discipled and you are walking with Jesus, I would encourage you to make yourself accountable and disciple another believer. And if you don't have a tool, go to goandtellministries.org, Disciple Making Disciples book. And Chris, I'll say this. If you got guys on your podcast watching this and they can't afford this book, I will send it to them. All right. Or purchase the book. Because this book will literally, you go one-on-one with someone to disciple another believer. And if you commit to doing that, it will challenge your walk and you're going to grow. Jesus spent time with the disciples. You know, what do they commit to? And in the book, one thing we talk about, five things disciples do who consistently grow in their walk with God. They abide in Jesus, meaning they continually walk with him by what? Through fellowship, spurring on, and by sharing the gospel. And that's where it comes alongside. I agree with you. The church, we need to come alongside guys to help them grow in their walk with Jesus Christ with accountability. And you do that through relationships. You do that by making yourself vulnerable, praying with each other and encouraging each other to do that. And as people grow in their walk, God grabs a hold of your heart and he changes it, and then you want to give it to others. And I've been blessed not only to be discipled by others, but Chris, I've literally have led hundreds to faith in Jesus and discipled of hundreds. And once you start doing that, you don't turn back and stop.
No, you don't. I mean, I'm thinking through, as you were talking about that, just something that came to mind. I think maybe this is a spirit-led thing. Outside of accountability, it takes commitment. And this is, and the world we're in now, and I don't know about you, Jim, but I see this everything I'm a part of, whether it's local sports or local church stuff or even stuff for the line within us or business, it doesn't matter. People don't want to commit to anything anymore. They just don't. You know, they're just, the level of commitment is so low. And I'm encouraged that you have these resources and these tools, because maybe it's a fear of commitment because they don't know what it's going to take. So tools like what you guys are building and what you've built and it's serving others take some of that uncertainty out of it, because it's such a big deal to make that commitment and that accountability and move this forward.
You know, it's Jesus said in Matthew 3:8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, that you're going to see who true believers are by their change. If you are born again, a new believer, what God removes from you, your heart of stone, gives you a heart of flesh. And he says in Ezekiel, he'll move to follow his commands and to obey his decrees. You know, for example, there's two couples I was with past year. This one young couple, they used to attend our church. They had a baby. I visited them. I'm good friends with the husband's parents. Matter of fact, we do Bible studies together every week. I went, I gave them a gift, and I was just asking their questions spiritually. Have you guys attended church recently? And they said, well, we believe last time we came was with you. And Chris, that was 5 or 6 years ago. So I said, may I ask you a spiritual question? They said, sure. I go, if you stood before God right now and he'd ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And the husband said, I probably shouldn't go. The wife gave a good works answer. And I said, you know, God's standard of goodness is far greater than ours. Could I ask you some questions according to God's law to see how you stand before him? And they said, sure. And we use Way of the Master as a way to ask people where they stand, if you're familiar with that. And I asked him some questions according to the law. I said, have you ever lied? And they both said yes. I go, what do you call someone who lies? A liar. I said, have you ever stolen anything? Well, that's one other command. They said yes. What do you call someone who steals? A thief. Another command is, thou shalt not commit murder. And Jesus said, murder is anger in your heart. Have you ever done that? And they said yes. And I said, you've just admitted to me that you're a lying, thieving, murderous person at heart. And we've only looked at three of the Ten Commandments. They kind of chuckled. They said, if you stood before God, are you innocent or guilty? Oh, guilty. Would you go to heaven or hell? Oh, we'd go to hell. Do you know what God's done for you? Oh, yeah, yeah. I go, well, what has he done for you? Well, Christ died on the cross for our sins. Yeah, he did. How do you know that? And the husband said, oh, when I was in youth group, I was at a conference in Colorado and I prayed a prayer. The wife said, I was at a youth activity, a winter retreat. I prayed a prayer. I said, oh, praise God. So you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead to take away your sins. Oh, yeah, yeah, we know that. So it's funny, when I ask you if you stood before God and he'd say, why should I let you heaven? You never brought him up. But we did it once. So let me ask you this. Do you attend church now? No, we told you. Last time we attend church was 5 or 6 years ago with you. I said, do you read your Bible on a regular basis? The husband said, I think we have a Bible. I said, do you guys pray together? Do you pray on a regular basis? I can't remember the last time we prayed. So I want to ask you, you don't go to church, you don't pray to Jesus, you don't read the Bible, you don't even think of him, and you think a prayer you did one time 10 years ago, it hasn't changed your life at all. So I don't think you know him. Mm. I think you know about him. And then I was with this other couple, and I got together, they have 4 kids. The wife was good friends with my wife, and I mean, not my wife, my daughter. And she was just wanting me to get with them because they got married. When they got married, the wife's a nurse, and she was expecting the husband to take the kids to church. She was growing in her faith, and she wanted me as a pastor to talk to her husband. So we meet at a restaurant, and I do the same thing with him. We talk about their background and their kids, and he doesn't attend church, and he knows his wife's trying to take the kids some, but she works most Sundays. I ask him the same question. If you stood before God and he say, why should I let you heaven? What would you say? He gave a good works answer. I went through the law. He admitted he was a lying, thieving, adulterous person at heart, guilty, going to hell. Said, are you innocent or guilty? He said, guilty. Would you go to heaven or hell? Hell. I shared the gospel, how Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead, how he needed to repent of sins, trust in Jesus. And I could see he was convicted, but he didn't want to pray with me. And I said, well, your wife's concerned you're not raising your kids right. Do you want to start meeting with me on a regular basis? We can meet here at this coffee shop. He was a physical therapist at a hospital near the hospital. Why don't we start meeting every 2 weeks? And I can teach you how to read the Bible. I can teach you how to pray and do that with the kids. Because, you know, let me get back with, he got back with me a week later and we began to meet for 6 months. And I would give him assignment to read. He'd read the Bible. He'd come back with questions. He was praying with his kids every night. He began to take him to church. He prayed with his wife. And after 6 months, I said, let me ask you this question again. I asked it to you 6 months ago at lunch with your wife. If you were to stand before God right now and he would ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? He goes, oh, I've repented of my sins. I've trusted in Jesus. I said, I know you've done that because I've seen your life change. When did you do that? It was, oh, that night when you talked to me at that dinner table, at the lunch table, I couldn't sleep that night. I knew I was going to hell. And if I went like this, my kids were going. Mm-hmm. You convicted me that I needed to get right with God, but I also needed to train up my kids. And I looked at him and I said, I know you've repented and trusted in Jesus. He goes, well, how do you know that? I go, I've seen your changed life in 6 months. Your wife tells me, I've asked. You're taking the kids to church. You're praying with your wife. You're praying with your kids every night. You're reading the word. Your life has changed. You show a changed heart. You see, when you actually repent and trust in Jesus, Your life is going to prove that. And we need to really look in the mirror and ask ourselves, does our life show that we've trusted in Christ? And hopefully, as guys, we will challenge ourselves and look in the mirror. It's a good thing to look in the mirror. And we need to come alongside as guys to challenge each other and ask questions and to spur each other on. You know, in Hebrews 10, it says, let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Meeting together is just not church on Sunday. It's discipling. It's coming alongside another believer, asking questions, and encouraging each other by asking questions. How is your walk? Are you in the Word? Are you praying with your spouse? Who are you praying for salvation? How are you living in holiness and purity? It's going to spur us on to live for Jesus. And what I've seen, the people who are walking, who have truly professed faith in Jesus, will produce fruit in keeping with repentance and righteousness. And if you have no fruit, the challenging question is, are you actually born again, a child of God? And, you know, I gave an example of those two couples. One couple, they knew about Jesus. They had no signs of walking with him. The other guy didn't know Jesus. 6 months later, he had every sign that he was walking with him. And I think they'll know we are Christians by our love, by what? Not only our love for others in word and deed, but by our love for Jesus. Because that's the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. And that will show that we are Christians by our love.
And amen. Love it. Well, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I find it helps me to have a guide at times when I'm reading and studying the Bible. One way that helps me is by using devotionals to guide not only what I read, but insights into the scriptures themselves. So we were blessed to become an author on the YouVersion Bible app, and we saw an immediate opportunity to help others with devotionals around the areas that we spend the most time talking about at The Lion Within Us. So if you enjoy the show, you may enjoy these devos as well. We have some guys that are using them as part of their small groups, as well as they're a great way to get conversations going. So to see the ones that we've created, head over to thelionwithin.us/YouVersion, and that's YouVersion, to learn more. So that's thelionwithin.us/YouVersion to get started with your own men's devotional today. Well, Jim, I'm curious. There's a lot of guys that I speak with on a regular basis, and a lot of things that comes up with their hesitancy to walk down the path of discipleship is their personal insecurity and where they are. You know, they don't know enough. You know, I hear that a lot. Well, I don't know enough to disciple anyone. How do I even start that? So when you hear men in particular talk about they don't know enough, what's your encouragement? Where do you go to get them past that hurdle and that roadblock?
Again, it all is all based on the Word of God. Just begin reading the Word of God with another person and study it together. There's enough, as you know, Chris, and you've talked about, there's enough tools out there to study the Word of God. I promise, guys, start in the New Testament, start with the Gospels. If you go to our website, goandtellministries.org, we have different Bible reading plans available. As you begin to read, it will change your life. You know, my son, again, I told you, is a college basketball coach, walked with Jesus. But when he was in junior high, he came into my office one day, and I was reading my Bible. And as a junior high kid, he said the normal thing. He goes, "Dad, I see you're reading the same book all the time. Is that because you're slow?" And I'm laughing. I go, "No, son, you know, there's two things you don't understand. One is this. I've got an infinite God teaching a finite man about his eternal truth. Do you think I'm ever going to learn it all?" See, that's why I continually read this book. I continually grow and change. But there's another saying you haven't learned yet, and you're going to learn it someday. You never step foot in the same river twice. And so what I'm reading today in the Word of God, God is teaching me things he couldn't teach me a year ago because I wasn't ready for it. But today I am. And this Word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and marrow, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And the more you read the Bible, you're going to see a change. If you're just starting out, you want to disciple another people, read the Gospels together. Ask the 5W questions, why, what, where, when, why, and just begin to look at Jesus's life and pray and study it together. And you're going to grow because the Holy Spirit will guide and teach you. And as you go to church, as you're involved in church, you're going to have other resources to help you. And then the biggest thing I've done from as a youth pastor in the early 90s to now, I've just met with people on a regular basis, and we will just read the Bible, the Gospels together. And I have them memorize the scriptures, and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's a great teacher, and people will grow. Right. And that's what you do to give with other people. And you disciple and you come alongside others.
What's a good cadence? I mean, how often do you recommend? I mean, is this a daily, weekly, every other week? Like, what do you see to be the most effective where people actually stick with it and you know, continue on this journey?
That's a great question. And every example, every guy is going to be different. You know, there's been sometimes I'd meet two or three times a week. Some guys it's every other week. Some guys it's weekly.
Okay.
A lot of it deals with life experiences, sometimes deals with life. I mean, sometimes you are circling the wagons. You're just trying to survive. Other times wagons hoe and you can do a lot. It's coming alongside. Right. There's no quick, easy answer to everybody. But I'm meeting with Peter every other week right now. I meet with Marvin every week. We meet with several couples, kind of ends up being two or three times a month. It kind of changes. And as I've discipled people over the years, it can be from two to three times a week to monthly at the minimum. And it deals with life and it comes in enjoying accountability with life. And so if you have nobody that's accountable in your life to grow in your walk, I don't think you'll grow because you need to be pushed. You know, as we talked about basketball and coaching, a good coach will make you do what you don't want to do so you can become all you want to become. I need someone in my life to challenge me. Otherwise, I tell you, I'm slothful, lazy, and gluttonous. But I've had people in my life, they've challenged me, and they've made me become the person of Christ I wanted to become. But I've needed that challenge and the push and encouragement. And for those guys that have come across my life, the others, Jim Cheshire has come in my life, John Lyons. Forever grateful for the men and women who've not only discipled me, but who I've discipled. Marty Cobb, Natalie Ruggles, Maureen Little. See, as I've discipled others, that's changed me to grow. And as I've had people mentor, disciple me, it's changed me. And, you know, it's interesting about ministry. Let me share this with, I've been pastor for 35 plus years. Go and tell ministries. I started it 3 years ago, and it's 3 years ago around right now. I was, formed a nonprofit. I've actually raised support as a missionary, and I go in every weekend and I'll teach an evangelism workshop or discipleship workshop at a church that I've written. Then we have videos and book follow-ups and I preach. But to get in, I've targeted small churches because I've pastored churches from size of 15 to 200. And I looked at my wife and I said, I'm going to raise support to do this. I can't charge a lot of money. I'm trying to target small pastors. There's a small churches. I look at my wife, I go, well, what do you think? I'm going to retire teaching. It was 3 years ago right now. I said, hey, I'm going to finish teaching in May, retire from it. And this summer, I've got 100 days to raise 100% support. And whatever I raise, that's going to be our salary and health insurance in September. And I'm thinking she's a stay-at-home mom. She doesn't work, stay-at-home grandmother. I figure she's going to say, you need to teach another year. She looked at me and said this, Chris, you are made for this. I said, you did hear the part, I haven't raised a dime yet, right? Honey, you were made for this. So I decided I'm burning the ships. That next day, I announced to the school, I'm retiring in May. And I had 100 days in the summer of 2021 to raise 100% support. And in 100 days, I raised 100% support. And we took off running. Oh, my gracious. That summer, I also filmed a video series. Someone says, well, why didn't you try and raise support? And then if you didn't raise it, quit in August. I said, I'm burning the ships. I'm all in. If God has me doing this, I'm doing it. And you know who I went to raise support, Chris? All the people that I discipled and led to faith in 35 years of ministry. I have over 100 supporters. It's all the people I've discipled. Yeah. And there's more I've discipled I haven't asked. I don't have any big supporters. I've got supporters $100 a month or 50, but I went to people I led to faith, who I discipled. I said, could you support me to equip the church to share the gospel and make disciples? And they all said, of course we will. We wouldn't be in Christ if it wasn't for you. Raising support was like It's a Wonderful Life movie for me. That summer,
yeah,
I saw the fruitfulness of all these people I discipled, and they're partnering with me. We're training disciples throughout the world in Tanzania, Italy, Ethiopia, Honduras. 6 denominations endorse us stateside. I travel 40 weekends a year. I do 10 conferences. We're seeing God use this ministry to equip the church to share the gospel and to make disciples.
That's absolutely incredible story, Jim. I mean, in a great way. And also, I took away from that story right there, you have an incredible wife. Marry well, guys. Choose wisely, because right there, to have that type of support. I mean, I can only imagine the confidence that gave you moving forward as well, just knowing that she was behind you 100%.
You know, I shared this story last weekend in a sermon. When we dated for a year, and it was my first date was something like this. I've got a call to ministry, and I'm going to go ministry full time. If you're interested, we can go on a date during university. And she fell right for that line. And we got married with an understanding after 3 years, we were going to go to seminary. And so in those 3 years, she worked at the university. And then I was a teacher for 2 years. I was on staff at a church for a year and a half. And we had the youth group pack up our moving van. I was going to drive the moving van. She's driving our car. And we were going off to Columbia. Some August of 1980. Reason I share that, I always remember this.
From Indiana,
Bloomington, to Columbia, South Carolina. I start the moving van up. She knocks on my window and she said these words. She goes, honey, I promise you when we got married, we'd go to seminary. But unless your character changes, I'm never stepping with you on staff in a church ever again. You have to change. She went back into her car and I began to pray, God, I think this is an important conversation. I just don't know what she's talking about. Well, after 2 years of seminary, God began to work in my character. I looked at my wife. I said, honey, I feel God's calling me to go to a church in Florida to be assistant pastor. I remember we had a conversation before seminary. What do you think? She goes, you know, I think you're ready for that seminary pastor. I think you're ready for assistant pastor job. I will go and serve with you there. After their 8 years, I came to her and I said, honey, I feel God's called me to be the senior pastor. I remember we had a conversation that you didn't think I was ready for that yet. What do you think? She said, honey, I'll go wherever God tells you to go. And then 3 years ago, honey, I've got to raise support as a missionary. I haven't raised a dime. What do you think? You're made for this. It's amazing how much my wife changed over the years, Chris. The reason I share that story, God will use people in our life to change us. God has greatly used my wife. I didn't listen to her at first years of marriage. Then all of a sudden I realized she has a heart for me to be godly. I just didn't see my faults. God used her to change my character, to help me grow in love with Christ, to become a man of God that I am today. And I wouldn't have been that without my wife. And I think husbands, you know, when we hear our wives challenging us to be godly, challenging us to pray, challenging us to train our kids, they're wanting us to live up to the bar of Christ as commanded. And I'll be honest with you, my first years of marriage, I blew my wife off and didn't listen. And that pastor, Dave Ferris, I remember he sat me down and said, Jim, your wife is right. You need to listen and you need to begin to see your faults. You need to begin to repent of your faults, right, Jim, and be more broken over you than your wife. You've done pretty good telling me your wife's faults, but you're not telling me yours. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I'm more broken over me now than anyone else. And that's been the change of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I think husbands, we need to listen to our wives and grow in godliness. Husbands need to pray with their wives. I find probably 10% of people in the couples and churches are praying together as a couple. Wives are longing for their wives. Wives are longing for their husbands to lead them in prayer every day. And husbands just aren't raising up to it. Right. And if you do that and pray with your kids, you're going to see change in your family. And I praise God for not only the godly man God brought in my life to disciple me, but of a spouse who loved Jesus and loved me enough to challenge me to grow in Jesus. And we have mutually encouraged each other. Ecclesiastes 4 talks about two strands are not easily broken. And that is true in marriage. So I encourage husbands to grow in Christ with your wife and listen to them and grow in godliness.
100%. Well, Jim, thank you for sharing all that. I mean, I'm so grateful that you went there with the marriage and the impact on that. Before we wrap up, though, we'd love to do a lightning round with all of our guests. Are you willing to jump in and have a little fun here at the end?
Sure.
All right. Well, let's have a little fun here. So, Jim, give us what's your favorite hobby? What's something that you enjoy doing for fun?
Well, I love watching basketball with my wife. Love being with my grandkids. I was with them last night, and kind of what we do for fun. My wife and I, we love to ride bikes. You know, I'm at the age now. I'm almost 64. I can't play basketball anymore. My knees are out. I can't play golf. My back's out. I can't play tennis. My shoulder's gone. And so I ride the bike and we walk. And I watch my grandkids and my son. So we love, still love sports. And, you know, you never get tired watching your son coach or your granddaughters dance and being with your daughters. I've got three adult kids, all married with godly spouses. And probably the greatest highlight I have with this, you know, I raise support. I tell you, as a missionary, all three of my kids' family support me financially and pray for my ministry. Probably the greatest blessing.
Love it. Love it. What about, you know, from Indiana, what's your go-to meal? What's your favorite food, Jim? What do you enjoy doing? You're out on the road a lot, it sounds like, but do you have a favorite food there?
Yeah, if you talk to any family member, I tell you, they're going to all say the same thing. It's pizza. I love pizza. And so, as my wife says, I don't know how you keep your weight off with all the pizza you eat, but I exercise and I do a lot of intermittent fasting so I can have a pizza. Not a whole one, but I can have pizza.
There you go.
So I love all types of pizza. Matter of fact, I'm meeting with my board members Friday at Giordano's here in Fort Wayne, the deep dish pizza. So, yeah, pizza is my go-to.
There you go. That's your go-to. Love it. Love it. What about all-time movies? What do you think about for movies throughout your life? Any movies stand out that you like, that you enjoy?
You know, you could probably guess it'd be Hoosiers, the basketball movie. The side note for that, not only it's about basketball, I played in every one of those gyms except for the Hickory Gym. I played high school basketball in all those gyms in the movie, and I can tell you which gyms they were. And my son, for his bachelor party before he got married, 3 years ago? The bachelor party was at the Hickory Gym. They played basketball all night. And so that was the bachelor party. So Hoosier is my movie.
Big deal. I love it.
Do I sound like an Indiana University grad here?
Yeah, you're definitely coming out. Well, I love it. So when you think about God, Jim, what's your favorite thing about him? I just love asking this question just to see all the different types of answers. But what's your favorite thing about God?
The purpose I have in my book on the top is three things: that delight in God, declare the gospel, disciple others. Is the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm in love with him. He's my delight. He shows himself daily as I read the scripture. One thing that's interesting, one reason it takes longer to read the Bible, the peace of God's tangible. He shows up. I'm in love with Jesus. As I go speak at workshops and I share every weekend, I'm not the best speaker. I'm not the most educated, but I'm in love with Jesus and that flows out of me. The love of Jesus. I'm in love with him. He shows himself and his peace and his joy is a daily experience. And now I'm motivated to share the gospel two reasons. One, not only the reality of hell, the reality of hell is horrendous. But I think since COVID 2020, I don't know how people have lived with the fear, anxiety, the trauma, without the peace and presence of Christ that I walk with daily. I want people to know the hope of glory that's within you. And of sharing that love for Jesus, I want them to know the power of Christ within you.
Amen. Well, let's think about it 180 degrees. What's your least favorite thing about the evil one?
He's a liar and a father of lies. Mm. And so many people are deceived thinking Christ's death isn't sufficient. They cannot be freed from sin or pornography or struggles. He's a liar. If Christ truly was raised from the dead, he can free us from anything. That power is within us. and you got to fight the spiritual battle. You got to put the armor on. As I go around the churches, one of the things I speak, one of the classes I teach is when I started pastoring a church, a new church that I took in 2020, one of my first sermons, I said, I figured out what your problem is. And I took my shoe off and I held it up. I go, you're shoeless. They looked at me baffled. We just hired a crazy man. I said in Ephesians 6, when they talk about the armor of God, the gospel of peace being like shoes, you guys haven't had one salvation in 10 years here. You guys don't know how to do this. You're shoeless. The church is shoeless today. They don't know how to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. You share the gospel in word and deed. Could I share a closing story with that? You got time or no?
Yes, sir.
So yes, sir. Three years ago, I was teaching, and I taught at an elementary school in Fort Wayne, kindergarten to second grade. I was a special education teacher, 700 students, 300 Burmese students, 5-6 Burmese translators, 2-3 Spanish translators. I taught special education from a kindergarten second grade with emotional disabilities, learning disabilities. In that school year in August, I got a new student. I'm going to give him the name Mike. I kind of use a different name due to confidentiality. He was a first grade student. He was living with his dad just a week before and his stepmom. They abused him. CPS got involved. They found out they sold drugs. They moved Mike to Fort Wayne, a mile from the school I taught at, in a trailer home, probably in the oldest trailer park, with his mom, who he hadn't seen for a year or two. I get him a week later. Just think of the trauma of a first grade boy with that, who already had emotional disability. At the end of that first week, I called his mom. I'm going to give him the name Mary. And I said, hey, Mary, this is Mr. H. That's what the name I went by teaching. And I said, it's been great having Mike in my room. And I know what's all happened in transition, but I've noticed a couple of things. I have two questions for you. She goes, well, what is that, Mr. H? I said, you know, when I get Mike, I get him in the afternoon. And I know you're on disability. I know you just got Mike. He gets free breakfast. He gets free lunch. When I work with him in the afternoon, he's always hungry. And I've been sharing my lunch with him every afternoon. My question is this, do you need help with food? Yes, Mr. H. Well, the other question I have for you is, Mary, I know you just got him, but Mike has worn the same pants, the same socks, the same shirt every week, every day. Do you need help with clothes? She goes, well, Mr. H, I didn't think the school helped. Well, Mary, they normally don't, but stay on the line. I'm going to have you talk to someone, but I'm Mr. H during the day, and I have a superpower at night. I'm known as Pastor Jim, and Pastor Jim helps. So what I want to ask you is this, tomorrow's a Saturday. Can I come by to your house tomorrow on a Saturday? And I'm going to bring you a couple bags of groceries, a couple bags of clothes. I'm going to start doing that every other week through the school year. Can I do that? She says, oh, Mr. H, thank you. And I went, and we're a public school. I told my principal what I'm doing on my own time. So I started doing that. Yeah. It got to be in September. I go there. Well, once with a gallon of milk and some other food, and the refrigerator broke. I called my wife, and my wife's one of those ladies that can find anything, and we found her a small used refrigerator that day I delivered it. Gets to October, and again, I'm doing this every other week, and I'm trying to share Jesus with her, and it's not going very well. But she had a wedding ring, and it said Jesus. She goes, this was my mom's wedding ring, and it said Jesus. I remember going to church as a kid. I think it'd really help Mike if he went to your church. Could he go to your church? And I said, well, Mary, my church is like 14 miles away, but there's a church a mile from your trailer park. Pastor Rick's a good friend of mine, and a lot of the kids in this neighborhood go to that church. Could Pastor Rick visit you and Mike and get you to the church? And she said, yes. And so Pastor Rick visited Mary. He shared the gospel to Mary and asked her to repent. It gets to November, and again, same thing's happening, and Mike's spiraling out of control. The day's too hard for him to go a long day, and we decide at a case conference with an IEP that on a Tuesday, we need to have him go on a shorter day. So we decide that, and she agreed with it, Mary, in the case conference and the principal, that Mike would start the day a little bit later, come home a little bit earlier. I got all the paperwork done. By Friday, I called Mary. I said, hey, Mary, I got the paperwork done, and on Monday, if you sign it, the bus will pick him up an hour later, bring him home an hour earlier. By the way, if you sign it today, I've got some groceries. Can I bring it by today? And she goes, well, thanks, Mr. H. Yes. So she signs it. I leave the groceries, and Monday comes. That's the only day Mike missed that year. And if you're a public school teacher, the day's busy. And so I'm busy all day. And finally, the principal calls me in their office end of the day. And I come in and I just want to tell you, Chris, if you're a 60-year-old man, you get called to the principal's office, you're still scared.
Yeah.
So I go in the office. I'm a little nervous. And the principal looks at me and goes, Jim, just sit down. She goes, I already told Mike's other teachers, I should have told you. I don't know how to bring this up. Mary died yesterday. CPS has taken Mike to another county. You're never going to see him again. Are you okay? And I'm like, what? She said the same thing. And she goes, Jim, are you okay? And this is what I literally told my principal. I said, Renita, Mike was hungry. I fed him. Mike needed clothes. I clothed him. The family's refrigerator broke. I got him one. I shared the gospel with Mary. And not only that, I had Pastor Rick go. He shared the gospel with Mary and invited them to church. I think I'm going to be okay because I don't know what more I could have done before God to share Jesus with her. My principal said, oh my, no other teachers responded that way. I said, well, Renita, when you asked me if I was okay, I just assumed you meant before God. And she responded, well, Mr. H, that's why we love having you as one of our teachers. Reason I close with this story, Chris, is this reason. The church is not okay today. The church is going to have to give account of how well we've loved our neighbor. You know, the church isn't praying for the lost. They're praying to win the lottery. The church doesn't know how to share the gospel. Billy Graham says 80% of the people in the church have never done that. We've looked at it. Probably 95% have never discipled. The one command Jesus said right before he ascended was what? Go and make disciples. By loving God and by loving others in word and deed. Go and tell ministry exists for one reason, to equip the church to share the gospel and make disciples. And we need to get back to the work and the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God to make disciples.
100%, Jim. And here at the very end, give them a website. Where do you want them to go? How can they connect with you if they want to learn more? I just want to give you some free space here to share that.
Goandtellministries.org. And again, we have several resources. We have a discipling book. We have a story of how to do this. I teach in churches two workshops, an evangelism workshop, a discipleship workshop. We also have a video series with books available on our website. I'd love to come to your church. I just ask for an honorarium and get to my church, whatever your church can give. Because we feel when we come into the church, we'll inspire the church to share the gospel and make disciples. And we'd love for you to check our website out at goandtellministries.org. Again, we're endorsed by 6+ denominations. And it's a joy to, again, to love God and to love others for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. We'll have those links in the show notes for you guys. Definitely go check that out. Get copies of the book. Support Jim. Jim, anything else you'd like to share today?
Hey, just encourage all the guys and podcasters are watching this. Just come alongside, encourage each brother to grow in Christ. We need to, especially the older guys that are watching this, the younger guys need us to disciple them, to come alongside, to encourage them, to pray with their wife, to love their kids, and to walk with Jesus. I plead in Titus 2, it talks about older man disciple the younger man. I plead with the older guys, let's come alongside and raise up young believers to lead our church for the glory of Christ.
Well, Jim, it's been an absolute honor, sir. Thank you so much for sharing and just praying nothing but blessings for you and your ministry moving forward. You have a wonderful day.
Hey, always fun to see you, Chris. I look forward to continually seeing your podcast. Thanks for having me be a part. It was a blessing.
Are you a manager, solopreneur, or business leader? Are you a husband or father? Do you have people counting on you to guide and direct them personally and or professionally? Get the guidance and confidence you need at the Summit Leadership Development, an intensive, biblically-based mastermind group that transcends the boundaries of conventional leadership. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's why we focus on the perfect, inerrant Word of God to become strong men and leaders in our business, home, and community. Join other men who are ready to speak and embrace truth. Learn how to refine your approach and become a beacon of light in a dark world in all aspects of life. Our intentional monthly sessions will give you an accountability partner to dig deeper throughout the month. The Summit is empowering leaders like you to amplify their influence in the workforce, home, and community. Don't miss this opportunity to become a strong leader in a weak world. Secure your spot today at thelionwithin.us/leadership. That's thelionwithin.us/leadership.
All right, fellas, I told you this was going to be a powerful one, and it definitely was. I'm just so thankful for Jim for coming in, for sharing his story, for sharing the different types of ways that he's helping and that he's equipping others to go do what God's called them to do. And I want you to think about this. What does discipleship mean to you? To you, not to other people, but to you directly. What does discipleship mean? Do you have discipleship as part of your Christian journey? And if it's not, if anything happened today with this episode, when you listen to it, whenever you listen to it, did it identify a gap you have in your walk? And if it identified a gap, what are you going to do about it? You got to close the gap. You can't do this Christian journey alone. You need accountability. You need commitment. You need encouragement alongside. And being intentional about discipleship is what it's all about. So guys, go check out the show notes. We have lots of resources on this one. Go check out the Lion Within Us community. This is why, literally why we built the Lion Within Us community, to help with discipleship, as helping Christian men be the leaders God intends them to be. What do you think that is? Discipleship 101. This is what we do. We come together. We make a whole lot about Jesus. We share our struggles. We share our wins. We help encourage each other. We lift each other up. We ask questions. We dive deep. We're there to support. We're there to encourage. And it's every day. The commitment is there. Every day. So thelionwithin.us. Resources there, guys. Check all that stuff out. Start your 30-day free trial of the community. Check out our summit where we really dive deep on this accountability, this discipleship areas as well. Guys, we have lots of ways we try to serve you. We try to help you. None of it's going to happen if you don't go to the website, though, thelionwithin.us. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Come back on Friday. We're going to have some great tips for you as well. Looking forward to hanging out. And don't forget those dad jokes. Got to come back for the dad jokes, right? All right, guys. Have a great day. Get after it. Thank you so much. Blessed and honored that you're here. And remember, keep unleashing the lion within.